Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The first cell phone I ever had. This was the ringtone.
This was the ringtone, yeah.
I don't even know what it was, but you guys remember, like, on thing, it had, like, the different words. It was just funky. This was funky.
First one I ever had. I don't think you could pick your ringtone. It was one of those, like, Nokias. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I had one of those little Motorolas. My phone was so bad, my friends, they said I didn't have a BlackBerry. I had a Boysenberry. So my friends used to call my phone, and they used to make fun of me for having that little phone for... I had that phone for a very, very long time. It held me through. Someone has to always come in and ruin the fun on the text line.
Yeah, what happened?
Come on, guys. It's Kansas City. We share it. Let's not have a swinging contest about whose side is better. It's great on both sides. We just happen to have a state line through it. We should all be working together. All right. I mean.
I'm embarrassed that came from the 913.
I mean, okay. Come on now.
Well, I'm glad you said it, Fanny.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Come on.
I mean, I certainly understand why the Kansas side would want to share it. You have the worst side that you're on. I understand why you would want to share, you know, the pro sports teams. I get it.
I told you guys. Come on, guys.
People are getting personal on the text line.
I know, they're mad at me. They want me fired now, apparently.
Come on, guys.
I'm telling you, I'll say the same thing I said yesterday on 816. The 816 to me is my booty call. I use it for sports in the plaza and downtown. That's it. And then I go back, and then I go home. My nice, peaceful area.
Good old Johnson County.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a, you know, good analogy, but I mean, I understand.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, just use it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know that, you know, you were spending a lot of time and money with the booty call. I didn't know that's what you were doing.
That's typically the way it works.
I didn't know that was part of the game. Obviously, back, you know, when you were playing the game, it was a lot different game than a lot of these new cats are out here playing. I certainly ain't spent a lot of time and money on something I don't care about, but that's neither here nor there. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to your chance to win $1,000 at our national cash contest. We'll also end the show with Ask Us Anything, and we'll invite the guys from the Arrowhead Pride tailgate to come in studio, talking a lot of Chiefs to get you ready for the preseason game tonight. Kets, let's get it.
These are the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City.
I have been waiting for that moment all my life.
We talk about them every day at 5 o'clock.
The hits number one.
Hit number one today is... Today is a really, really good tune-up for your Kansas City Chiefs. Atlanta is a team that is very solid defensively, a team that is going to really challenge you. Last year, they were 8th in points per games allowed. They were 9th in yards allowed, 12th against the pass, and 9th against the run. Atlanta is a really, really solid team defensively, certainly going to be a really good test for your offense. And on defense, Atlanta is one of the, what, 5 best defensive teams in the NFL. They've got a really good quarterback, one of the best running back duos in the NFL, and a really good wide receiver trio, and a decent tight end in Austin Hooper. This, like, if you could pick a opponent to go up against in the preseason to really test yourself, I don't know if you could pick a better one than the Atlanta Falcons.
No, and I like the fact that it's in week 2, because, of course, we don't see the starters much at all in week 1. Now we get a full half tonight to get with the starters against the Atlanta Falcons. I agree with you 100%, C-Dot. I mean, the Falcons can run the football. One of the questions we have about the Chiefs is, can they stop the run? The Falcons can throw the football. They got Matt Ryan. They got Mohamed Sanu. They got the rookie in Calvin Ridley. And, of course, they have Julio Jones. And they have a tight end that I'm really high on in Austin Hooper. So the pass defense has been a concern of ours. I think we'll find out tonight a little bit about our football team. So I agree with you 148% on this, man. What a great matchup in week 2, and we'll find out about our Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly will find out about them. That, again, I don't know if you're going to really have some major takeaway from the second game of the preseason. I do think these games are somewhat measuring sticks, like yesterday if you were watching it. I mean, the Patriots offense, it looked like week 7, the way they were going down the field. Brady played really well. I mean, I think you're certainly trying to get yourself ready for the season. I think if you're going to try to get yourself ready for the season, you want to go up against a team that you feel is kind of your equal. Atlanta feels like one of those teams that is very, very similar to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. It's a great matchup for them, you know, because they get to find out what they're up or what they can do against a really, really good football team, because it's essentially this half and then the next half and the third quarter potentially of game three. I mean, that's how you find out what you got heading into the regular season, because they're not going to play a down in the final preseason game of the year.
Number two.
If you guys missed it earlier today, Kets, if you can fade the music down, this is what Mike Florio had to say about the Khalil Mack situation with the Oakland Raiders.
That the Raiders made a run at trying to sign Mack back in February. And remember the mindset of John Gruden back in February. He was upset. He was ticked off. Now he's always upset and ticked off. I don't think he's happy unless he's upset. But he was upset because he couldn't do any work with his players. He couldn't bring them in. He wanted to get ready. And I think he wanted to do something tangible. So something very tangible would have been to get Khalil Mack signed. And when there was a clear impasse between what the Raiders were willing to pay and what Mack wanted, I believe at that point, Gruden said, let's just spend that money on other players. And spend that money they did. Some $55 million in 2018 dollars devoted to others that could have been part of the deal to get Mack done. And once that money was spent, the budget's not there. The money's not there. The cash isn't there to give Mack the kind of contract he's looking for, in large part because he's going to want full guarantees 2 or 3 years out. Money's going to have to be put in escrow. They just can't do it because they've already spent their money on other players. That's what I believe. I don't know that. That's what I believe.
I think Mike Florio has a really good theory on what's happening with Khalil Mack. I just don't like the logic behind it. Khalil Mack is one of the most important parts of your team. You don't go look in other places and spend all the available money, and now that Khalil Mack's ready to get the deal done, you're like, well, we're out of money. No, you need to make Khalil Mack priority number one, and you need to let it be known throughout the organization. We'll deal with you, but right now we're taking care of him. Or if you don't do it, you're going to find yourself in the situation that the Raiders have found themselves in. I'll be very curious to see what happens with Khalil Mack as we get closer to the season, because in 99% of these situations, the player always caves and the player always shows up to work. But what if he's Earl Thomas? What if he's Cam Chancellor? What if he is the 1% of player that is not going to show up? The Raiders cannot make the playoffs. They cannot accomplish the goals in which they want to accomplish without having their best defensive player, in my opinion.
He's not Earl Thomas. The Earl Thomas is 28. He's already got his deal. He's made $47 million in the game. And the Raiders know that, and John Gruden knows that. And they also know that he's going to make $800,000 per game, and he's and $13.84 million this season. They know what we know. There's no way in hell he's going to sit out this season and skip out on $14 million, his first really, really big payday, because he's getting franchised. Now, I'm with you on this part of it. When you have one of your best players on your team, you've got to treat him the right way. You know, you got to take care of him, because Khalil Mack is that guy. But I also see it from the team standpoint. All right, you don't want to come in and play for $13.84 million? Sit out. We don't have to pay that then. Then we won't pay you to play, because they know he's going to show up. But you still got to treat him the right way, because that sets a precedent. You want to come to Oakland, you outperform your contract, and then they treat you like this? Nobody's going to want to go there. Oakland's a mess anyway.
But I mean, to me, there's some players, though, you can't have that hard line stands for. Khalil Mack would be one of them. You need Khalil Mack. Like, the leverage to me a little bit appears to be on both sides. Now, the team is always going to have the leverage. It is the billionaire team against the millionaire athlete. So, I mean, if we're talking dollars, then the team's always going to win. But again, you need Khalil Mack this season. This isn't a luxury piece. This is a player that you need. And it, to me, it would show a lot of good faith for you to try to meet in the middle with Khalil Mack to try to have him in camp.
I agree. And look what happened with Eric Berry and Justin Houston here in Kansas City. When the Chiefs tried to play hardball, throw the franchise tag out there, make them wait and make them wait and make them wait, and Justin Houston gets 22 sacks. Clark Hunt's got to step in and get the deal done with Eric Berry and put him in salary cap hell, because they waited. They waited too long, and it cost them a hell of a lot more than it should have. And so if the Raiders don't take care of him, then they're facing that potentially as well.
Number three.
If you guys missed it, ESPN announced they are not going to show the national anthem prior to Monday Night Football. The ESPN president communicated this to the NFL, and they wanted to let them know as courtesy and of good partners. ESPN, quote, a senior VP told Richard Deitch, quote, news will dictate whether or not we will show the anthem. We have seen the data. Fans want the game. This seems like a very, very simple fix to a problem that the NFL has let go on for far too long. Tell ABC, tell NBC, tell Fox, tell NBC, tell everybody, stop showing the national anthem. Tell ESPN, stop telling your writers to keep tabs on who's protesting and who's not protesting during the games. Like, it just seems like part of the backlash and part of the storm has been the NFL, whether they want to admit or not, they have certainly highlighted who is participating and who's not participating. And I'm with them that fans, for the most part, want to see the game and they don't want this to be an issue. Then stop making it an issue. Stop showing it on television. No one at home is going to be like, oh, my God, I missed the national anthem. everybody will be perfectly fine. ESPN is making the right decision when it comes to how to handle the anthem, at least from the television perspective.
What do you think networks live on, and what do you think they want, and how do they make their money? It's ratings. Ratings are down a little bit for the NFL, and for some people it's because of the national anthem. ESPN's doing it simply to protect ratings. You know, and I don't know why it took networks that long to figure it out. And I understand that some of them are, actually all of them, are news-gathering agencies, or at least have a news-gathering wing to their networks. I mean, ESPN certainly does, ABC, CBS, NBC, they all have it. So I think they feel like they had to report what's going on during the game. But the bottom line is this, they want ratings more than anything because they're paying a hell of a lot of money for those games. And so if that keeps ratings up when they don't talk about the anthem and they don't show it, you're damn right they're going to do it. I think it is the right move because the issue goes away.
Text line 69306, not showing it doesn't help when as soon as they come back, the announcers mention how many people are kneeled. It should just be, in the NFL, stop. Yeah. I mean, the NFL doesn't acknowledge gambling. Now, I'm not trying to equate what's happening during the anthem to gambling, but I'm saying is NFL employees, they don't talk about gambling. Like, I know they might, like, hint at it, but they don't openly talk about it. So it clearly was a message from the NFL, we don't discuss this. Make this the exact same thing when it comes to it. I just don't understand why they've allowed it to go on for as long as it has, and that concludes the hits for today. I'm really excited for today's game. I understand it's football being back. As we talked about during the hits, I just really look at the Atlanta Falcons as being a really, really good test for the Chiefs. If you could ask for a preseason opponent to go up against, you're going to take someone that you think is well-coached. You're going to take a team that you think really challenges some of your weaknesses, a team that can run the football effectively to really challenge your run defense, a team that can throw the ball really effectively, a team that can score a lot of points, and a team that's very solid defensively to challenge your young quarterback. Like, you can't, like, if we're making a checklist of the kind of opponent you'd like to see the Chiefs play in the preseason, you would probably create the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and I'd want it in week two or week three, too. I don't want to see the Falcons in week four. I don't want that. I don't want to see them in week one either. I mean, hell, Alex Smith made his preseason debut last night for the Redskins. He didn't even play the first week. Look at how many Chiefs guys didn't play in week one. Because of injury, because of whatever. I mean, we didn't see Reggie Ragland or Anthony Hitchens last week. We didn't see Eric Berry. We didn't see a lot of guys in week one. And if they did play, they didn't play much. So give me week two, week three against teams like the Atlanta Falcons. And the Chiefs have the Bears next week. I'll be curious to see what that looks like with Matt Nagy as the head coach and Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback. I'm curious about that. But week two, when your starters are playing a full half and it's not at Arrowhead, it's on the road against a really good team. It's a perfect week two matchup.
Coming up, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest, and there are some players to keep an eye on in tonight's game. I'll tell you who they are coming up next. It's The Drive.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Ketz here, Fanning here, taking you up until 5 o'clock. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll welcome in the guys from the Arrowhead Pride tailgate to get you ready for tonight's preseason game as the Chiefs head to Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons. I wrote down a list of four players that I think you should keep an eye on in tonight's game. Number one, I'm very curious to see DeMarcus Robinson with the first team today. I think DeMarcus Robinson has made a little bit of a name for himself having really big games in the second half of preseason games, which is really nice. I mean, a touchdown is a touchdown in the preseason. I'm not hating. I'm not going to take it away from you. But I think if you're DeMarcus Robinson, you want to prove maybe to yourself, to the guys on the team, and certainly to the fan base, that you're a guy that can perform when Mahomes is on the field in the first half. I mean, I expect to see DeMarcus Robinson out there with the first team. I expect to see Chris Conley out there with the first team. Who gets the targets with the first team offense? In this game, if Mahomes is playing the whole first half, if Hunt's playing the whole first half, Kelsey's playing the whole first half, your key guys are playing the whole first half, DeMarcus Robinson, I ain't giving you a lot of credit for a fourth quarter touchdown in this one. You had a chance to really make a name for yourself and really prove it in the first half going up against a first team defense and really showing that Reed trusts you enough to run with the first team offense. DeMarcus Robinson is going to be a guy I'm keeping my eye on as somebody I think who can make a decent impact on this team. Are you getting snaps? Are you getting targets with the first-team offense? I'm going to have an eye today on DeMarcus Robinson.
And I bet he will, too. And I'm going to read you a quote that Steve Sarkisian said, the Atlanta offensive coordinator, that I think really kind of tells the story of what coaches want to see in preseason games. Steve Sarkisian said this. He said, we need to see how a player responds in certain situations. We try to put him in as many stressful situations as we can put him in so we can get more information on him. You know what you got at Travis Kelce, right? You know what you got in Tyreek Hill. Now, Sammy Watkins, different deal. I wouldn't mind seeing him in there. You don't know what you have in DeMarcus Robinson. So I'll be really surprised if he doesn't get some targets in this game. Maybe get the ball to Kelsey a couple of times. Maybe not. I mean, I want to see what DeMarcus Robinson could do. We know what these other guys can do for the most part. So I'm with you 100%, C-Dot. I don't need to see DeMarcus Robinson, you know, doing that whatever touchdown celebration he did in the fourth quarter last week when he got a Was it Henny that threw him the touchdown mm-hmm. pass or Chase Lynn? I can't remember. But, yeah, I don't need to see that. I'm curious. And the cool thing about these preseason games, too, is really we start to understand what coaches think of these guys, depending on where they put them in the game. If we see DeMarcus Robinson a lot in the first half, that tells you they think highly of him.
Absolutely.
Or they want to find out more information by putting him in a situation to see how he'll respond.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really going to be looking at one thing in the box score coming out over the weekend is the snap count in three wide receiver sets. Maybe that's like super nerdy football, but when the Chiefs are in a very obvious passing down, when it's third and eight, who's on the field?
Guy. Yeah.
Who's on the field? Is it just going to be your two wide receivers and Travis Kelce? Are you going to three wide receiver sets and having Kelce in there? Are you going two running backs? That's like, who's on the field on third down and obvious passing down?
Because that's the money down.
Because I think the Chiefs, now I'm not saying they're treating this of utmost importance. It's the second game of the preseason. I think with how the offensive line looked last week and how the offense looked a little bit, the Chiefs would like to put a couple of good drives together. I mean, you're playing an entire first half of your offense, at least what they're saying.
Yeah.
This team could change the plan. What if they come out in the first quarter, real quick, bop, bop, two quick drives, 14 points in the first quarter?
Day's
all right,
done.
Hey, we saw enough of what we needed to see, so I'm not saying they're going to play the full. But we at least know if there's not a rhythm given, you could see four, five series from this offense in the first half. Who's on the field in obvious passing downs? Second and 12, obvious passing down. Who's going to be on the field? I think that's going to really tell you maybe the hierarchy of who Andy Reid trusts and really like with the other key parts on this team.
Yeah, and I'll be surprised if we don't see a bunch of DeMarcus Robinson tonight. I'm with you on that. That's a guy to watch.
Another guy I have on my list, I got four players to watch. The first guy was DeMarcus Robinson, is Armani Watts. Armani Watts last week played 48 snaps. He played over 68% of the snaps and was on the field 15 snaps more than second place, which was Breland Speaks. I think the Chiefs really like what they have in Armani Watts and really want to highlight him. You got rid of Robert Golden. So, to me, Eric Murray and Armani Watts, man, it's time to show and prove. It's time to really show what you can do. The Chiefs, at least to this point, haven't sent out any signals that they don't like their safety position and maybe want to go out and bring in a veteran free agent safety. They seem like they're rolling with Eric Berry, Eric Murray, and Armani Watts. What does the rookie look like in this situation getting getting extended snaps with the first team? Or if it's Eric Murray, what do you look like as the number one? And maybe it changes a little bit because I don't expect Eric Berry to play.
Yeah.
I mean, so we could be seeing a lot of situations with Eric Murray and Armani Watts on the field at the same time. Who kind of shines in this game?
Yeah, so you basically are going to have a second team and a fourth team safety out there. I mean, that's what you have because Armani Watts got, even though he got all those snaps, he got bumped down on the depth chart a little bit. So, me too. I mean, that's a curious spot for me because Sorensen's out for probably, what, the first five, 6 weeks of the season? So, that's probably going to be Eric Murray filling in for him when Barry's in there. Armani Watts is going to need some time in there. So, I'm curious too, man. Armani Watts is another guy to watch. He's a guy that I was high on. You know, that's the pick that they got from the Rams when they traded Marcus Peters to him. And that's who they took is Armani Watts. He's a guy that I'm really, really high on. So, he needs to come out. I mean, these are great opportunities. I mean, how many rookies really get to come in there and start, you know? And Armani Watts may be one of those guys that can earn a job.
So I'm making a list right now of the four guys I'm really looking at with a closer eye on in today's game, aside from the obvious guys. Everybody's going to have the eye on Mahomes. Everybody's having their eye on certain individual players. I'm giving you maybe some second-tier guys. Number one was DeMarcus Robinson. Number two is Armani Watts. Number three for me is going to be David Amerson. You look like the 2018 recipient of the Eric Warfield Award. You look like the corner that Chiefs Twitter was going to hate the most. You look like the guy that was going to have us leading 3 o'clock segments during football season with fan complaints about David Amerson.
Did you get a Philip Gaines award, maybe? Is it too early to put his Philip Gaines on him?
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a guy to me that had first team all Eric Warfield, William Barty, Kendrick Lewis, just guys that frustrate you in the secondary with David Amerson. He was getting cooked. He was getting sauteed. He was giving up penalties. It was not a good first impression for one David Amerson today. And you're going up against Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan on the other side. This could be a long first half for one David Amerson.
Give me a percent chance he gets fricasseed.
85%. He looks like a guy that can get cooked today.
Yeah, he might get barbecued and cooked and smoked and all that. So he had a really bad game. And remember how high we were on? He's first team all training camp, though, right? I mean, because remember all the picks he had? David Amerson picking off Patty Mahomes. Man, David Amerson might be a lot better than we think. We see him in a game. It's a freaking hanky fest out there, man. There's yellow flags flying all over him.
Yeah, I mean, David Amerson, to me, is on my list of guys to look for. So, DeMarcus Robinson, Armani Watts, David Amerson, and I've got Damian Williams. I think that this is one of those games when it comes to running back. Man, I'm not giving Kareem Hunt a lot of carries at all in this game. Yeah. I've given Kareem Hunt like 4 carries, 5 maybe at the absolute most. If they didn't play Kareem Hunt in this game, I wouldn't necessarily be that disappointed. I don't really think as a running back you need a lot of carries to get ready for the season. Maybe you're holding Kareem Hunt off until the third game of the preseason, and that's when you want to unleash him a little bit. But this is one of those games, if I saw Kareem Hunt over there in street clothes, I would not be very upset or disappointed about it. Damian Williams, you got 5 carries in the first game, got 20 yards, 4 yards a carry. Pretty good. This is the game I wouldn't mind you getting 6 to 8 carries, getting 8 to 10 carries tonight. Damian Williams, I think, really has the opportunity to kind of prove himself in this game. So my 4 guys are DeMarcus Robinson, Armani Watts, David Amerson, and Damian Williams, my 4 guys to look for in tonight's game.
I think you'd throw Spencer Ware in there a little bit too, right? We didn't see him on the field. He's coming off the knee injury, restructured his deal to ensure himself a roster spot on this team. I'd like to see what he looks like, to be honest with you. As far as Kareem Hunt goes, I'm with you 100% on that. There's no reason to run him out there more than you have to. Give him a couple carries, get him a little sweat, and take him out. You know, but who's going to be number 2 and number 3? Charcandrick West has the concussion. Decent chance he gets cut. Who's the number 2 and who's the number 3? And Spencer Ware didn't see the field last week for precautionary reasons because of the knee injury. I'd like to see Spencer tonight have a nice game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, especially off the injury. I mean, I think the Chiefs have kind of let you know that they're going to bring those guys back really slowly. The guys that were coming off injury. Certainly would be nice to see Spencer Ware get out there and play a little bit today. Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And all eyes are going to be on Patrick Mahomes. What are we looking for today from the quarterback? We'll get into it next. It's The Drive.
The Drive with C-Dot and Fanning, presented by Tecate.
Right now, it is your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word product, P-R-O-D-U-C-T, product, to 72881, and you'll be the $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $12,000 each weekday. All you got to do, listen in on the 30s from 7A to 7P. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour. Complete rules and listings over at 610sports.com. One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing. Product, P-R-O-D-U-C-T. Product, P-R-O-D-U-C-T, to 72881. We've got a little bit of breaking news right now in the world of sports. Ohio State announces that they will be done with their investigation on Sunday. Let's go around the room. What do we think is going to happen to one Urban Meyer?
I think he survives it. I think he survives it. I think he did the bare minimum to survive it because he went out and he went on the offensive on that Friday and sent out that long Twitter message saying that he took responsibility for lying to the media at Big Ten Media Days, which was kind of lame, the excuse that he gave. But he also said that he did report the incident. I think he did the bare minimum to cover his ass legally. I think he survives.
So Ohio State announced that the investigation into head coach Urban Meyer will be concluded on Sunday with the decision to be announced next week. If we don't hear the decision on Monday, that tells you he's keeping his job. Because if you fired him, you will announce it early in the week. The later we get in the week, this just feels like a Friday at 3 o'clock. They announced that Urban Meyer continues to be the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. This just feels very, very, very obvious what's going to happen here. I mean, I don't want to throw out random percentages. I don't have enough information on it to know enough to throw a percentage on it. But when I hear somebody like Bruce Feldman, who I trust very much when it comes to college football reporting, when I hear him say this,
I think, from talking to people around this story, and again, it's not people who are investigating, but people around it, I think there's a lot of people who feel like there is an increasing chance that he's going to retain his job. That a lot of people are going to say, "Hey, look, did he do the right thing? Technically, he did." Now, the part of the investigation is to find out what did he know when he knew about it, and then what did he do about it?
That certainly sounds like a man that's about to keep his job. And I do think it's fair to note, this was not an external investigation. This was an internal investigation. I don't think Ohio State is looking for reasons to fire Urban Meyer. I think they're looking for reasons to not fire Urban Meyer. So I'm expecting Ohio State in their first game. I don't know who it is at the top of my head. I think that Urban Meyer will now be the head coach at Ohio State.
I think somebody's going to get fired over this deal. I don't know if it's going to be the AD, but I would imagine that they're in pass the buck mode in the Ohio State Athletic Department right now. Because Urban says he reported the incident in 2015 about his assistant coach that was arrested for domestic violence. He says he did the right thing. And he was doing that to pass the buck over to the AD or to the Athletic Department. So somebody's going down for this. If it's not the AD, then the AD is going to pass the buck. And it's somebody inside of his office that didn't do their job that's going to get fired. Somebody gets fired. I don't think it's Urban.
I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this aspect of it because I don't really think it's that big of a deal. But the hype and buzz going into this Mahomes start doesn't feel anything like the last one.
Yeah.
Even though I think if you look at how the preseason progresses, there is no reason to really be excited about the last time. Like, Mahomes wasn't going to be out there a whole lot, wasn't going to do a whole lot, wasn't going to throw a whole lot of passes. Now, it's possible in the two possessions they had out there, they could have went down the field and threw a touchdown, but he just wasn't going to get enough reps. He wasn't going to get enough opportunities. He wasn't going to be utilized enough. Now, this is going to sound weird, and I know, obviously, it's a very small sample size. This is the second biggest test we've seen so far for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to play an entire half against a team's number one defense. We've only seen that one time in our entire lives when it comes to Mahomes, and that was last year, Week 17, against the Denver Broncos. So if we're ranking test and difficulty of tests we've seen so far for Patrick Mahomes, tonight is the second toughest test that we've seen so far. Like, I'm really interested about how Mahomes is going to look against his defense with Atlanta. It just doesn't feel like the same buzz and anticipation is there, and I get it. This is the second time and not the first time. But you should be way more excited about watching Mahomes. Like, today, if you are rushing home to watch the Chiefs today, you can realistically go home just to watch Mahomes because he's going to get enough of an opportunity. Yeah. He was never going to get enough of an opportunity in their first preseason game against Houston.
Yeah, I feel like we left after that first preseason game not getting enough, if that makes any sense. I mean, because they didn't get, three possessions maybe, and long drives, you know, and they were on the sideline. So, this is the one you should be pumped about. So, you're saying the most important one was obviously the Denver game. Going out and do that, and now we get a full half against the Falcons on the road.
I mean, I think so. I mean, if you look at him, he started the fourth game of the preseason last year. I mean, that's kind of a throwaway game. But, I'm not saying it's as close to a regular season game as you can be. I think that's a third preseason game, but it's still preseason. Just this is a nice test. I want to see how you look out there. I want to see if you're challenging teams downfield. I want to see what you look like in this game. I'm not going to come on here and make some big decree on Monday, whether it goes right or wrong, but this is a good litmus test of where we are in the development of one Patrick Mahomes.
We're getting close to a start that matters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the really big part of it. When it comes to Mahomes for me tonight, I got to see the decision-making from him. I mean, that's the thing that I want to see the most. Because we know he's athletic. We know he can extend plays. We know he's got a cannon. Can he make the right decisions and make the right protection calls and things like that? Because those are the things that really, really good quarterbacks do. I'm not saying he needs to be perfect tonight. But, you know, if he makes the right decisions and throws the football away when he knows there's nothing there, then I'm like, okay, we're getting some there. Because, I mean, this isn't Texas Tech. You know, I mean, this is the NFL, and they're playing in Atlanta against a pretty good team. Can he make the right decisions? That's all I want to see out of this team. And from a team aspect offensively, I want 10 points, I want no turnovers and three penalties. And no bad turnovers is maybe the better way to say it. You give me those three things on offense over the first half of the game, then I'll be happy.
I really just want to see overall efficiency from the offense. I don't think that the offense was very efficient or very fluid in the first game against the Houston Texans. That's kind of what I'm looking for today. I just want to see how efficient they are, how fluid they are. Can they put together really good drives? I don't know how many of you watched the Washington Redskins yesterday, but the first drive for the Redskins looked like the same Alex Smith drive I've seen hundreds of times here in Kansas City.
And he got laid out on his first pass, too. I mean, he got smoked.
I mean, they ran the ball pretty effectively. He threw the ball really well. He made a couple of plays on first down. He made a couple of plays on third down with his feet. They then kicked a field goal at the end of the drive. That was the day for Alex Smith. Like, it was atypical. The same Alex Smith that you've seen in Kansas City over the last 5 years, that's exactly what he looked like last night in Washington. But I'm kind of looking at Patrick Mahomes of, I want to see that same thing. How do you look on your first drive? You come out here, not saying they're going to do a whole lot of game planning, but I wouldn't mind seeing one really fluid, one really easy drive to kind of exhale a little bit and kind of get a glimpse of what the Chiefs offense is going to look like.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that, C-Dot. I want to see that too. I want to feel like I want to look at Mahomes and say, okay, he can be the guy. Like, he looks comfortable. You know, he looks like he's in good rhythm and he's fine and he can go out there and make plays. Because Alex Smith, I watched a little bit of that game. I saw his first drive, just like you did, and he was smooth, man. You got to remember, that guy's been in the league a long time. I want to get at least some of that vibe from Mahomes tonight. If we do that, I think we're in pretty good shape.
And if anything, it just looked really easy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
what
I want to see the offense look like. Yeah. Now, I'm not comparing the Chiefs offense to the Patriots offense, but if you watch the two Brady drives yesterday, it certainly looked easy yesterday. Like, it looked very easy, very nonchalant, just we're the Patriots. We go down the field and we score. I'm going to complete 80% of my passes because you guys aren't blitzing me because it's preseason. We're going to score two touchdowns here, and I'm going to go sit and I'm going to go get ready for the regular season. We think the Chiefs offense has a chance to be very, very dynamic. Show me dynamic. I didn't see any dynamic in the game against the Houston Texans. All right, it's one preseason game. You're playing a half here. I can't see one drive that makes me think, all right, that's the offense I think has the chance to be top five, maybe the best offense in the NFL. I'm just asking for one drive like that. I'm not saying you got to give me a whole half. I'm just asking for one drive that makes you think this is the Chiefs offense that we've been talking so much about on paper.
And I want to see Mahomes get a touchdown pass. And not because I need to see a touchdown out of this offense. I just wanted to get it out of the way, get his first touchdown pass as a starter, and he can move on. I mean, how many times have we seen it, you know, for ball players? They come up for the minors, and then, man, they don't get that first hit for a couple of games. And then the pressure mounts. When's he going to get that first hit? Just get it out of the way so the kid can relax and go out there and play. I mean, that's what I want to see for him. And I got this tinge of not being quite as confident this week from some of the stuff that I heard him say. And that starts to scare me a little bit. And that's why I want to see him have a really good drive. From the offensive line perspective, because I know they were getting killed after last week's game against the Texans, I need those guys to get in a rhythm too, because they didn't do a very good job last week. So I want to see those guys get in a rhythm too and protect him.
And coming up, we'll catch up with the guys from Arrowhead Pride Tailgate. But it is a segment that you control. Text in your questions. Text line 69306. We're getting you ready for the Chiefs preseason game with a little Chiefs Ask Us Anything with the guys from Arrowhead Pride. Coming up next, it's The Drive.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, The Drive, presented by Tecate.
You want answers?
I mean, I think I'm entitled to them.
You want answers?
I want the truth, if we're being honest.
We should have just had Jack Nicholson voice this. It would have been a lot better.
You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead, ask us anything.
We welcome in the guys from the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate as they join us live in studio to get you ready for the Chiefs and Falcons tonight with a little different edition of Ask Us Anything. Text in your questions. Text line 69306. If you got a Chiefs question, our Chiefs experts will answer them. I like calling you both Chiefs experts.
Throw that word around a little lightly, but I'll take it.
Ken, I don't know if you can be a Chiefs expert. You're like 23 years old. So, like, if you don't remember watching the Lynn Elliott game, I don't know if you can be considered a Chiefs expert. But, I mean, you know, you work at Arrowhead Pride, so you got to be an expert in something.
The Lynn Elliott game was actually one of my first Chiefs memories of my lifetime. I kid you not.
I mean, what were you, 6, 7?
Yeah, something like that.
Worst memories then, right?
Yeah. No, it started off with a bang.
So text in your questions, text line 69306. We will answer them over the next 10 minutes. First up, what do you think about the distribution of Patrick Mahomes? Do you expect him to get 4,000 yards? Who do you think at least gets 1,000 yards?
I do expect Patrick Mahomes to kind of be around that 4,000 yard range. I'm not sure that it's going to be the prettiest all the time. I think he might have a higher turnover rate than you expect. And then Travis Kelce, I think he's a 1,000-yard receiver this year.
Yeah, I think Travis Kelce is going to be the go-to guy for Mahomes. I look at Travis Kelce, and people are always like, who's the most important weapon on this team? To me, it's Kelce, because he's just no one like him in the NFL other than Gronk. Gronk can't stay on the field.
Fanning thinks that Watkins is going to get double-digit touchdowns this year. You guys agree?
He's going to be close. I mean, that's part of the reason that he's here, is he's going to be a great red zone threat. And I think he's able to kind of balance that field. He's going to get opportunities over there if people are paying too much attention to Travis Kelce. I think he could. I don't think he's going to go over 1,000 yards receiving, but I do think he'll score a lot of touchdowns.
That's exactly what I've been saying, because I think that's one of the reasons they brought him in here, because I think you sort of zap Tyreek Hill's superpowers when you get him inside the red zone, because he's tiny and he can't get a whole lot of space over there. And Sammy Watkins last year had 11 targets or something like that inside the red zone. 7 of them were to him. 7 touchdowns. Am I crazy, Pete?
I have to say, by the way, I low-key love the Sammy Watkins drive music. I love
the harp.
The harp.
When we read the tweets.
He wasn't as loud at training camp as I expected him to be, but I think he'll be a red zone threat.
Yeah, I think so too, man. I think that's one of the reasons why they brought him here, because I mean they targeted Albert Wilson a bunch in the red zone last year, and he's gone. So
maybe I am a hater.
You might be.
He kind of feels like Robert Woods to me. He kind of feels like a guy that's going to have like 750 yards and 5 touchdowns this season. Like he just kind of has that feel to me. The Tyreek's going to eat. Because he's just a more dynamic player than he is. Travis Kelce obviously is going to eat. Because like I think a lot of the predictions about the Chiefs are so based on last year and what they got from the quarterback position. I just think they're going to be worse from a numbers perspective at quarterback. And when you take away like opportunities now from other people, I'm just not as high on Sammy Watkins the way other people are really high on him.
I asked Sammy Watkins right away with the cutoff hair. I said, is it a different year for you? And he answered real passively. He's like, I kind of like this role of not having to be the guy. And so he might just morph right into that role of, you know, maybe not having as much production as people expect.
Plus, he's like a solar weird being or something, right? I mean, he wasn't that in L.A.
Reptilian,
last year.
Yeah, reptilian.
Gotta add the reptilian part. Text line 69306. Get your questions in. We're doing a little Chiefs Ask Us Anything. Over under Justin Houston sacks, 13.5.
I would go under with that. I think he had 9.5 last year. I think there's going to be other Chiefs that are getting sacks. Chris Jones seems like he's real energized and determined. And I think there may be some more rotations with the outside linebackers, especially if Speaks and Tano can show, okay, we can be on the field as young guys.
I do think 13.5 is a little too ambitious for me.
That's a high over-under.
I would say double digits is still fair. Low double digits, maybe 10, 11.
I think your over-under is more like 10.5-ish than 13.
Yeah, I think he's going to get double digits for sure. I mean, he said he's healthy this year, and I'm believing him. You know, if he got 9.5 on one leg, you're telling me he can't get 11 or 12, you know, with a healthy knee. And I think we undersell that as fans and as media people. We don't fully understand what it's like to be an outside edge rusher with a shredded knee. You know, I think it takes a while to come back from that.
And he's not a guy who talks. Ford has talked in the past and really not followed through. When Justin Houston talks, usually he means what he says.
Yeah. I think 13.5 is like really optimistic and like best case scenario for him. That I'm not saying he can't do it, but like the numbers are normally in the skeptic's favor of you'll underperform or get injured throughout the course of the season. I would take the under, but I think we all agree. I would take, to me, 9.5 is probably where I would set it. I'd feel really good about the over, maybe 10.5. 13.5 to me, like now you're asking me to get 14, 15 to comfortably hit the over. I would take the under if those were my two scenarios.
I mean, there were 18 guys last year that got double-digit sacks in the NFL. So I think Justin Houston could do that, but he's going to need some help on the other side.
Guy on the text line asked a really good question, the question we were kind of talking about. Why are we paying Sammy Watkins $16 million a year if he's not going to be the guy? I kind of think for Sammy Watkins to justify the contract, he has to have the touchdown numbers that you guys think he's going to have. Like, if you don't think he's getting 1,000 yards, like neither one of you think.
No, I don't.
And he doesn't get 9 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns this season, that's a really bad contract for the Chiefs.
Super underrated part of this offense, too. I mean, Cam Irving, yes, because of injuries and things like that. But Sammy Watkins is really the only Brett Veach guy in this offense. So that in itself, you want him to produce for your GM. Every other guy is a Dorsey guy. When
Cam
comes to
Irving's
starts.
Not, and he's a pass catcher. I mean, they're going to throw him the football, right?
Like they did last year. He's 0-for-1 last year.
Well, he's only got one target. I mean, that's part of the reason.
You know, I do think Sammy Watkins is going to be third in the pecking order when it comes to targets. But I think his value, to your point, I think it's going to be some value in the red zone. I think he balances the field out. It's going to be harder for them to pay attention to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They've got a lot of threats on various spots in the field. It's going to still be he's going to be beneficial for this offense regardless if he's overproductive or not.
It draws attention.
Yep.
Text line 69306, do you think Brian Pringle is going to make the roster?
I don't. I think he's a great practice squad candidate. He's showed out a bit in training camp. There's just too many wide receivers. It's crazy. We're just a few years off of no wide receiver having a touchdown, but this is a deeper room now, and I don't think he'll make it.
It's going to be hard for him to make this roster, but he has shown a lot, and he's shown a lot of improvement during training camp. Definitely should be on the practice squad when it's all said and done.
I think they're just too deep at receiver. I mean, I think which is a great problem for the Chiefs, not good for Byron Pringle.
Text line 69306. I was debating which one I wanted to ask. Why is Dez Bryant not getting much interest? Do you think he would be a good fit with the Chiefs?
No. I just... there's such an emphasis with the Chiefs now, I think, on character guys. I think they're trying to do this thing in the locker room where there's no selfish dudes, and that's the anti-selfish, you know, dude. I think he'll end up in Cleveland when it's all said and done.
And how would he handle the role of a fourth target?
Yeah.
I mean, he is
so poor.
He's going to be down in the pecking order if he's here. It's not happening.
Text line 69306. Text line asking some really good questions. Which Williams back do you think will be the most productive?
By what everyone has been saying, it looks like Damian. And Damian's done a nice job at training camp showing all aspects of the running back position. And that's what you need to do when there's so many running backs going at it. I think Darrell Williams is interesting, but he might be just a little bit too young now. I think he's another practice squad candidate. I think Kerwin gets cut.
Damian has a role. He has carved a role for himself. He's going to be more of your pass-catching, third-down kind of guy. And I think he's going to have a great year.
This is a question from Carrington, not from the text line. Uh-oh. Do you think Charkandrick West makes the team?
Damn, good question.
Isn't it?
I mean, that's, you know, that's why I get paid the big bucks, boys. I don't know if you guys know that. You guys are doing the tailgate. You say I should be doing the tailgate.
If you bring me out to, you know, the middle of the Las Vegas desert and you put a gun to my head, I'd probably say he doesn't make
the
team. What
is this, Breaking Bad all of a sudden?
Real.
I'd probably
real
say
quick.
He doesn't make the team if it really comes down to it, which is sad to me because he's such a good dude. And
yeah.
I think you cut it and you save the salary.
There's a little under $2 million in savings if you let go of Charkandrick West. There's a ton of talent on that running back room. I don't think he's viable.
He'll land on his feet, I think, and that's the good thing.
There's a fan question. Does Sorensen make it? Did they let him go? I mean, can they? I mean, that's 5.3? What can they do with him?
I think with the IR rules, now that you can come back, if he's having complications and he's not healthy, he jumps onto that IR.
He's a clear IR key.
Yeah. And then you could bring him back now later in the season if he's healthy and ready to go. But this
that's
is
a lot of money for a guy that's not that great of a safety.
Our injury guy, Aaron, it's a medical expert, Aaron Borgman, he has said you don't really come back 100% from this. So it's an interesting thing to watch with this kid.
Yeah.
I think this is his last year in Kansas City regardless. Yeah. I think they would have cut him by now if they had planned on kind of moving on from
he's
him.
He's Andy's dude though, right? BYU guy. Andy Reid loves Dan Sorensen.
Listen. Great school. That's why he's here.
Text line 69306. Do you think there's any Pro Bowl sleeper on the defense?
Pro Bowl sleeper.
I got one.
Go ahead.
Let's go with Reggie Ragland. I think he's got a chance to be an extremely productive player this year. The Chiefs love him. They're going to give him opportunities. He's going to stay on the field longer than people expect in more situations. He's a guy I think could have a really nice year.
I actually think they were asking the question of guys that will, like, actually make the Pro Bowl, not guys that after like 18 people say, all right, I'm not gonna go, and then they just ask you to go to it. Because we know that's why, like at quarterback, like what happened last year with Derek Carr, 7 people declined. Well, yeah, then you were a Pro Bowler because like 40% of the NFL makes the Pro Bowl.
I don't think there's any real sleepers, but I think Kendall Fuller might have a shot. He's impressed me at camp. I think he's a legit player.
Text line 69306. If you had to guess, do the Chiefs sign another corner?
No. I just don't think they have the money. You know, it just comes down to the money, and I just think they're up against the cap right now, and I don't think they're going to be able to afford one of these guys who's going to get offers now. You know, you see the injuries across the league. It's going to be too expensive.
And they've shown their young guys have really kind of shown out a little bit recently. Damontre Wade, Arian Springs, and Tremont Smith. I think they like those guys. I think at least two of them end up on the 53 when it's all said and done.
Pete, you tweeted something I thought was really interesting because I think the number that's been out there in cap space that's available is like $8 million. But you tweeted, what was it? You can't really look at that number. Is that right?
I find that. Yeah, I mean, the way it works is if you're more than likely to reach that incentive, it counts against your cap for this year. It's just that not all of those things are public. So you may be a lot closer to the cap than you realize and that these websites realize. So they may be closer to like $3 or $4 million left than $8 million when it's all said and done.
Last question here. If you could mic up any Chiefs player, who would you pick?
Oh, Chris Jones. That guy is fascinating. I would love to hear him mic'd up.
I would say Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill is interesting, and I think he talks a little bit more smack than people realize.
I actually kind of want Mahomes mic'd up to just see how corny he is. Come on, guys. I mean, you could just see this the whole time.
Grover.
Like,
Grover
you know,
from
like
Sesame
Mahomes
Street.
Is? Like, sometimes, like, whenever they do that, because I remember one time they mic'd up LeBron. I'm like, LeBron, this is how you get your teammates fired up and ready to play. Like, you give the worst pregame speeches ever. I would just love to hear what Mahomes get everybody fired up rah-rah speeches. Something tells me it would be very, very funny. Tell us what you guys have coming up in the pregame. I assume you're talking about the Chiefs?
We'll be talking about the Chiefs, how much playing time you could expect. We'll be talking about the defense, the offense. The offensive line is too big of a problem. We'll be getting all into that, and we'll be leading you right up to game time at 6 o'clock.
Well, keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio for the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show. For Carrington, for Fanning, for Kett, check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. Get home safely. It's The Drive.
The Drive with C-Dot and Fanning, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.